there's a lot of data out there when it comes to getting a handle on the environmental impact of the fashion industry. McKinsey has estimated that the fashion industry is responsible for approximately 4% of the world's greenhouse gas emissions, while the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change has estimated that emissions from textile manufacturing alone, if we kind of continue on the way we've been going, that's projected to skyrocket by 60% by 2030. And while a lot of that's production-focused, it's also important to keep in mind that consumption and the way we wear and care for our garments also has an environmental impact. So, for example, it's been estimated that about 35% of all microplastics in the ocean come from washing synthetic textiles like polyester. And, of course, we're going to talk about as we're shopping in this fast fashion manner, we're producing more textile waste than ever before. So, for example, in Australia alone, every 10 minutes, it's been estimated that 6,000 kilos of clothing is sent to landfill.
How has it gotten to this point, like, that we are just churning out so much each week, it seems? Why has it gotten to this point that the demand is so high?
A big part of that is fast fashion and then also its latest iteration of ultra-fast fashion. So broadly, fast fashion is the catch-all term used to describe the trendy, low-cost clothing that's sold at mass market retailers such as Zara and H&M. And the fast fashion's focus on trends really encourages the obsolescence of garments, and it creates this constant consumer demand for new items and styles. And a big part of that is that research has found that fast fashion is actually designed to be worn less than 7 times. So it has this short lifespan built into it. And as this system has evolved over really the last 20 years, it's now been estimated that about 80 billion new pieces of clothing are consumed every year. And this is about a 400% increase in just 2 decades. And really, across nearly every product category, research has found that consumers are keeping items of clothing about half as long as we used to, even 15 years ago. And of course, we can afford to shop this way because clothing is cheap. And fast fashion relies on highly globalized supply chains that really aggressively cut costs and outsource production to low-cost countries while also using a range of lower-cost material inputs. And really, over the past decade, ultra-fast fashion has taken this cycle and made everything faster. So over the last decade, the industry has evolved with these online, direct-to-consumer, ultra-fast fashion brands such as Boohoo or Shein. And these brands have chosen to forego having that physical retail presence in favor of harnessing the power of social media to appeal to a younger consumer base with incredibly trendy clothing offerings, which are often as cheap as $1.
And as you were saying, that these clothes are sort of expected and almost designed to have a much shorter lifespan than clothing from years ago. And it's almost like that's been encouraged so that companies can continue to sell more and to jump on micro trends.
Exactly. So we've gone through this process where clothing came into stores really a few times a year. We had those true fashion seasons, and fast fashion in part was a response to retailers looking at how do we get people into our stores more often. And that's when we started to see the addition of new collections. So then we went to having those shoulder seasons where now new clothing is coming into stores weekly and increasingly on a daily basis. So it's feeding this desire for something new, and also putting a lot of pressure on certain consumer groups that feel the need to always be seen in something new and like the trendiest style.
Just wondering if you could talk a little bit more about how impactful the materials used in fast fashion are especially synthetic fibers and materials that are environmentally intensive?
Yeah, absolutely. So it is really tricky because so many of the materials that are being used, those synthetics, nylons, polyester, spandex, are really plastics. So we have these issues around microplastics where we're caring for our garments, and it also creates challenges in terms of recycling or managing those products at end of life, because while there's a lot of innovation in the textile recycling space, there still is a lot of challenges around fiber blends and also the quality of the synthetic materials that are being used, particularly for fast fashion and ultra fast fashion. They don't stand the test of time, and then it's difficult to then recycle them afterwards. So there's challenges when we're using and wearing those microplastics or synthetics made of those microplastics, and then the end of life issues. So I think when we do decide to go shopping, it really is important to look at labels and think about also buying natural fibers. But natural fibers are still energy and labor intensive, so which is why we also, like, we can't consume natural fibers at kind of our current pace of consumption either, which is why we also need to be focused more broadly on how we can work to reduce our consumption.
And with the intense output of products, the transport and packaging is also of concern. How much does that section of the industry contribute?
I don't have the exact data in front of me, and this is actually a really important piece of puzzle, actually this data issue in terms of trying to tease out where the different environmental impacts of the fashion industry lie. But we know that packaging and transportation plays a really, really big role, because fast fashion, ultra fast fashion, even a brand that's making manufacturing locally, it's quite rare that all the pieces of the puzzle to make that garment actually are local. So there's these highly globalized supply chains where transportation is built in across that network in order to make that garment. And we've also seen explosions, obviously, during the pandemic, of clothing being shipped to our homes, often being returned. And we're trying to get a better understanding. It's a kind of like black box in terms of what's the emissions, but also what happens to these garments that are being, if we're not wearing them and we return them, what happens to them?
And then the opposite of fast fashion is obviously slow fashion, which has been gradually gaining more prominence. Can you explain to us exactly what slow fashion is?
Yeah, absolutely. So slow fashion is a system of production and consumption that's based upon classic design and high quality production. So it aims to really produce garments that are worn, cared for, repaired when they're needed, and hopefully passed on in order to have the longest possible life. And we see that it's a completely different kind of design philosophy compared to that trend-driven ultra-fast fashion model. So this, with slow fashion, includes practices such as designing for adaptability and durability, which can be achieved through creating kind of timeless styles that are made with quality materials so that garments can be worn for many years, as well as really practical design interventions. So that can be things such as adjustable hems and waistbands that can be let in or let out or taken in as our bodies and our needs change as well.
And how are consumers able to identify whether or not a clothing brand is ethical and sustainable?
That's a very good question. I think it's actually really quite tricky to identify whether or not a clothing brand is ethical or sustainable, and also if it is living up to the claims that they're making. Because essentially brands are free to set targets or standards for their environmental or social sustainability performance. And while there are some examples of really great progress being made, it's also important to keep in mind that greenwashing, which is like kind of the unjustified or misleading environmental claims that brands might make about their products, is also quite common in the industry. So many brands like to portray themselves or parts of their collections as sustainable, eco-conscious, ethical, green, fair, kind of climate neutral, and the list goes on. But then what do these terms actually mean? And there's a lot more that brands need to be doing to be more transparent about their practices and what's going on behind the scenes. So, for example, a brand may promote paying a minimum wage, which is very different and often lower than a living wage. Or to your question about packaging, a brand may emphasize eco-friendly, recycled or recyclable packaging, but that could also potentially be greenwashing if that's the brand's kind of main strategy for reducing waste, because it's not really thinking about waste across supply chains. And also as consumers, we also have to then think about sometimes the time frame that brands are putting on their ethical or sustainable initiatives. So is a brand doing something today, or are they making claims that they're going to do something by 2030 or 2050?
And in your research, you've identified a solution to some of these excessive clothing consumption practices called the well-being wardrobe. What are the main ideas behind this practice?
It's a big one. I think we focus in the report on perhaps broader systems level change that needs to take place, but then also we've been thinking through what's our role as consumers and how we can contribute towards a more sustainable fashion industry and build that well-being wardrobe. And one of the biggest things we can do is really limiting our resource use and consuming less. So some industry estimates actually put this about reducing the number of new clothes we buy by approximately 75%. So at an individual level, this means buying fewer clothes, but then when we do decide to buy something new, we can go back to that slow fashion model and prioritize things like quality and classic styles. And of course, we can also focus on taking better care of the garments that we already own to help extend their lifespan through things like mending, repair, and better laundry practices. And I think also as consumers, we can get creative about shopping our own closets and thinking about the clothes that we already own. And like I said, how can we mend and even like upcycle those items to help kind of challenge that notion that garments are disposable? And I think also we can move beyond thinking about shopping, but also considerations about where and how we get our clothes. So there's secondhand and rental, but there's also non-monetary forms of exchange, such as swapping and borrowing. I think while those are all like individual factors, to move towards that well-being wardrobe will still require us to have broader societal conversations about sufficiency, or like how much clothing is enough to live well. Because in our communities and our daily lives, we've lost so much of the cultural and emotional value around clothing. So we need to, like, in our communities, have these kind of broader conversations about how we can kind of rebuild connections with our clothes and change how we see the value of garments.